Esteemed genealogist John Grenham writes, "In the years since the first edition of Tracing Your Irish Ancestors was published, the position of genealogy in Ireland has changed considerably. Then an arcane and eccentric art practiced by and for the blue-rinsed and the tartan-trousered, it has since become a respected and popular area of study. Both the National Library of Ireland and the National Archives of Ireland now have full-time, free genealogy advisory services staffed by professional genealogists, a far cry from the faint condescension meted out to researchers not so long ago. Public libraries all over the country have vastly expanded their holdings and their facilities for genealogists, with database and CD-ROM collections, copies of many LDS Irish microfilms, and, in some cases, dedicated research facilities. A highly successful 3-year diploma in genealogy is now offered by University College Dublin and attended almost exclusively by Dubliners. Local genealogical conferences are held regularly around the country. Specialist periodicals abound: Familia, Irish Roots, Irish Family History, The Irish Genealogist, Galway Roots, North Irish Roots, and so on. At the same time, interest in genealogy among the descendants of the Irish emigrants, the diaspora, has continued to grow. The single biggest contributing factor to this new state of affairs is information technology, and in particular, the Internet. Although it cannot create new sources for research, the Internet promises to make instantly accessible sources which had previously seemed impossibly fragmented and remote. See, for instance, the loan fund records. In Ireland, this promise has not yet been fully realized, but it will be. Grenham continues, "The first question posed by anyone embarking on ancestral research is, what do I need to know before I start? The answer, rather unhelpfully, is as much as possible. Although a painstaking examination of original documents can provide much pleasure, in genealogy it is usually better to arrive than to travel in hope. Theoretically, it's possible to start from your own birth and work back through records of births, marriages and deaths, parish records, and census records. In practical terms, however, the more that can be gleaned from older family members or from family documents, the better. There's no point in combing through decades of parish records to uncover your great-grandmother's maiden name if you could find it simply by asking Aunt Agatha. Nor does the information you acquire this way need to be absolutely precise. At this point in your research, quantity is superior to quality. Later on, something that at first seemed relatively insignificant, the name of a local parish priest, a story of a contested will, someone's unusual occupation, even a postmark, may well prove to be a vital clue, enabling you to trace the family back farther. Of course, what you will uncover about your family history depends on the quality of the surviving records for the area of origin, and again on the point from which you start out. In the majority of cases, that is for the descendants of Catholic tenant farmers, the limit is generally the starting date of the local Catholic parish records, which varies widely from place to place. However, it would be unusual for records to go back much earlier than the 1780s, and for most people, the early 1800s is the likeliest limit. In Gaelic culture, genealogy was of crucial importance, but the collapse of that culture in the 17th century and the subsequent impoverishment and oppression of the native population in the 18th century have left a gulf that is almost unbridgeable. That said, exceptions immediately spring to mind. One Australian family, starting with only the name of their great-grandfather, his occupation, and the date of his departure from Ireland, uncovered enough information through parish registers and state records of deaths, marriages, and births to link him incontestably to the Garveys of Mayo, for whom an established pedigree is registered in the genealogical office, stretching back to the 12th century. An American family, knowing only a general location in Ireland and a marriage that took place before emigration, discovered that marriage in the pedigree of the McDermotts from a barony in Sligo, which is factually verified as far back as the 11th century. Discoveries like this are rare, however, and much likelier in the case of Anglo-Irish families than for those of Gaelic or Scots Presbyterian extraction. Whatever the outcome, genealogical research offers pleasures and insights that are unique. The desire that drives such an undertaking is simple and undeniable. It is the curiosity of the child who asks, "Where did I come from?" All history starts from this primary impetus, and genealogy is the most basic form of history, tracing the continual cycle of family growth and demise, unraveling the individual strands of relationship and experience which weave together to form the great patterns of historical change. Reconstructing the details of our own family history is a way of understanding, immediately and personally, the connection between the present and the past, a way of understanding ourselves. That from John Grenham in the introduction to an updated edition of Tracing Your Irish Ancestors. And Grenham's closing thoughts there about history, genealogy, and understanding ourselves and others in our world apply to all of us, no matter our background. The Lackawanna Historical Society's Genealogy Forum offers opportunities for us to learn more about specific topics in family history research, both for beginners in the fall and for those who've gathered a good deal of information already. There is the Genealogy Forum's European tour. Beginning on April 12th, there will be a monthly session around Lackawanna County on ways to conduct research in various countries, beginning with Ireland and the Scots-Irish records. The core members of the Genealogy Forum are Barbara Spellman Schutte, Kate Bohan, and Tom Price, and they paid a visit to the WVIA Benko studio to talk about their own explorations and the many ways they're offering to help us if we take part in the European tour. Barbara Spellman Schutte.
This is our third year doing the European tour, and it's been very successful. And the fact that LHS is partnered with the Lackawanna County Library System and a couple of other organizations, we've been able to move around the county and sort of switch out which ethnic group we're talking about so that we're not always in the same place with the same group of people. And I'll tell you what, we're three retired high school teachers and we love doing it and we love being able to share, because genealogy on its own can become very expensive. And we are very tuned into this and we're happy to do it. And people really are interested and we try to give them enough that they can go off on their own, or if they need help, we're always available.
Introduce Tom, Barbara, and then we'll come circle around to you, Kate.
Yeah, Tom wasn't able to be with us last year. Tom and I have known each other for over 30 years, and we belonged to a genealogy group at the time, which was how we got connected. And so we've sort of been doing our own separate thing, but together for a very long time. And Tom was always part of this because he had actually been doing this around the same time. I think we probably started around the same time working on our own ancestry.
About 35 years,
at least. Yeah, 35 years. And then Tom is retired from Delaware Valley, and he's our math guy. I always referred to him as our resident genius because he's got everything stored in this brain of his, and you ask him a question and it just pulls it right out. So he's a tremendous asset. And then Kate and I taught together at Scranton High, and she's our history teacher. So we have Tom math, Kate history, and me English, speech, drama.
What drove you, Tom, to this enterprise?
Well, I think I would actually have to go back to high school. We always went to my grandparents on Sunday and stayed the day. And my grandmother's older sister was always there, too. She would come up after church. Well, I think I was maybe a sophomore in high school. And I asked my grandmother and Aunt Lottie about their grandparents. Well, the next Sunday, my Aunt Lottie shows up with this lined paper that listed her grandparents' names at the top and then all of their children. And then under the children listed their children. So I had this paper, which I still have, of three generations of the German side of the family. I've always been interested in history, too. And we had a big family reunion on the one Welsh side of my family back in 1990. And a couple years before that, it was a couple years in the planning, I guess that's when I started getting into this full time. And then after the reunion, I decided, well, this is my grandfather's family. I should start doing my grandmother's family. So I took that lined paper out and started researching.
The rest is history and math, right?
Yes.
Right. What was it in your life, Kate, that said, I'm really curious. I want to do more of this.
I don't think it was one event, but somewhere back around the 1990s, my father had died. And I realized we really don't know anything about his side of the family. I remember my parents getting a Christmas card from this family, and I was like, who is this? And my mother said, oh, they're your father's cousins. And I'm like, I didn't think he had any. He was an only child. And his father was an only child. So I was like, well, where did these cousins come from? I had never heard of them. And so that kind of tweaked it a little bit. And then gradually I started doing more and more. But unfortunately, I've run into a lot of brick walls.
And that's why it's so important that you all are offering workshops like this, because brick walls are part of the game, I'm afraid, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
You mentioned the European tour. What is it and how does it unfold?
It's not necessarily just people from Lackawanna County who wind up coming to these, because either they find out by word of mouth or they happen to be members of the Lackawanna Historical Society, even though they don't live in Lackawanna. I mean, there's quite a membership that extends across the country, but we try to keep what we're doing within those confines, even though you are talking about resources that are thousands of miles away. And one of the things that we've tried to make clear every time we schedule one of these is to make sure that who's signing up has really done enough research that they've kind of gotten to the ancestor who came over. And if they're fortunate enough to at least have a sort of a narrowed down scope of where they're from, then we can offer them more specific resources to help them continue on their own. And that's really key. We really try, if we hear from people well enough in advance, regardless of the country, and they have an idea of where their ancestor came from, then very often you can find the specific resources that will help them find who they're looking for. And that part of it has been very successful. I mean, I don't know that we really anticipated that was how far we would get with it, but the facilitators we have, they're more than happy to go that extra mile because they know what they went through to get to that point. So that's really how we approach it. And because we're retired educators, we do these in person. Marianne has gotten requests for us to try to do it online, but the facility just isn't there. And there's a dynamic in the group. It's not always the same with each group, but there's a dynamic, and then there's a rapport, and there are questions that are popping up in the midst of all of this. And when they're sitting right in front of you, it's just so much easier to keep that momentum going. And then one question will lead to another question, and the answer will help somebody who didn't think of that question. There's so much more effectiveness doing it in person. I mean, we do Zoom things in the winter just because it's winter, but we sort of tailor it a little differently so that you don't have this idea that there's going to be a lot of Q&A. And it's worked out. It's really worked out for us. But that's where we're coming from, and we're still looking for facilitators for other countries. So if anybody's out there, and again, the focus is on those ethnic groups that settled in this region. You know, like we don't have a big call for French research or Swedish. You know what I mean? So we're really trying to keep a handle on it. But Eastern European is where we need to expand.
We were talking last time about shortcuts or things that you have taken time to find, but you're willing to pass on those keys so people don't have to do that. Do you have an example of something that has helped you that you really want to share with people?
Tom does not give himself enough credit. And a lot of the things that we have that we can give to people to help them with their research are things that Tom has created over the years. He's done a lot of work with the city of Scranton births before the state required birth certificates and delayed birth certificates and the deaths and those kinds of things that you might not find in a newspaper because a lot of people just didn't have the money to put things in the newspaper. And so being able to go back and look through those death records is an absolute godsend for people whose roots are in Scranton.
I just finished about a year-long project of indexing the delayed birth certificates for the city of Scranton, all 17,000-plus names of them. When people went to sign up for Social Security back in the 30s, they oftentimes didn't have a birth certificate. They needed to have some proof of their birth. So what they did is that they would go to a local alderman or notary, along with some proof of their birth, could be a church record, an older relative, a family Bible, a baptismal certificate, and they will get what was called a delayed birth certificate. Well, those are all online at Family Search, and they're in microfilm at the library, but they're not indexed, and they're also not in total chronological order. So it's a big help. I've had an email from Martina Soden, the head of reference at the library, that they've used it several times now.
You're shaking your heads, Kate and Barbara, because you know what it means to try to plow through that without an index, right?
Exactly. And he doesn't do it just for us. He has shared these things on various websites, like the Lackawanna County Facebook page. He's put a lot of this information out for people to just be able to access through that group.
Barbara said that the Irish is probably the hardest. Why do you find that? Do you have that sense, Kate?
Oh, do I have that sense? My maiden name is Murphy, and it is still the most common name in Ireland. And my father was an only child, and his father was an only child that survived of four. And his father was the one who came from Ireland. That's it. I don't know where. I have no idea. And all of my other Irish names are all very common as well. So that brick wall is about 4 feet thick, and I'm chipping away at it, but not making a heck of a lot of progress.
Barbara, please weigh in.
Well, until probably the last, I'm going to say 3 years, anything that you were looking for in Ireland, each resource was housed separately with a different agency or government office, and you had to know where to go to look for that. Little by little, websites were popping up that you could research, but there is an Irish genealogist named John Grenham who had written several books, and he kept updating them, and I think he was up to the sixth edition. But somewhere in there, he managed to have a website created that is almost a one-stop shop. If he doesn't have a particular resource under his own work, he points you exactly where to go to find it. And when I say recently, I'm really just talking probably the last 3, maybe 4 years tops. The other part of the challenge is that Ireland is only so big. It only has so many counties, but each of those counties, for the most part, is very large. And it's one thing to say that, oh, my father's people are from County Galway, my mother's people are from County Mayo, because a good portion of Irish who came from the West because they had nothing else. But if you don't know the townland where they came from, then you're missing out on the actual real source of your family. And it's great to know the county, and if you're sure of it, then you can start little by little whittling down to that. But the sources that are available, and it's very male-oriented, you're not going to find a whole lot about the females, but it just takes a lot more patience and it takes more time. I'm grateful to John Grenham because he has made it easier, but you still have to know things that are going to help you get through his site more easily. Otherwise, you're spinning your wheels. I mean, he has a wonderful thing where you put in the surname.
For you, Kate, that would mean Murphy.
When you hit that. Murphy, I wish we had a picture of it, Erica, because Every red dot virtually covers the entire island of Ireland. And Walsh is in my family, and Walsh is one of the top five names. Same thing. I was very lucky. My great-grandfather, we knew where he came from in Mayo. But the other side of the family, we didn't know. But we were able to find out. And with my dad's side, we knew it was County Galway. It took a long time, but then there was this one family member who happened to remember something. And sure enough, when I started to pursue it, but if I didn't have that one shred of evidence, I might still be looking for them, because my maiden name is Spellman. And I thought, there aren't that many Spellmans. Well, I was very wrong. They were popping up all over the place, and I wasn't related to any of them. I mean, there are even Spellmans in Scranton that I'm not related to. That still blows my mind, because it's not like there are a lot of us, but clearly we're not from any DNA connection at all.
My family is all Welsh and English and German, and they present their own problems too. There are only so many surnames in Wales. I personally have three Jones lines, which is the most common name in Wales. This area, the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area, from the mid-1800s to probably the mid-1900s, has the largest Welsh population outside of Wales. Washburn Street Cemetery in Scranton is the largest Welsh cemetery outside of Wales. And so probably when this area started, Lackawanna County at least, started increasing in population in the mid-1800s, everybody that lived here was pretty much either English, the Irish were just starting to come in, German, and that was about it. England and Wales, their records do go much farther back than Ireland. Just last year, after how many years, I found my 10th great-grandfather's baptismal record from 1587. Germany has its own problem too, because until 1871, Germany was a conglomeration of about 40-some different Germanic states, grand duchies, whatever. So you not only have to know that they were from Germany, but where in Germany. My family is from southwestern Germany in the Palatinate region, the Pfalz. And unfortunately, when you're studying and researching in Germany, it's more like researching in German, because it has a different alphabet that was used back then. And even the German churches here, up until the late 19th century, are written in what is called Sutherland. If you found a record, fortunately the names are easy to see, you not only have to translate it into our alphabet, then you have to translate from German into English. Some German records go back into the 1600s, some not very much at all.
It sounds to me like you all, having been in the trenches so long, would have advice for people about connecting with family members, making sure before they pass away that you do oral histories, or you ask them to share their Bibles or their photo albums. What do you think, Kate?
Not just their photo albums, but labeling somewhere around the picture who's in it. Luckily, we have a lot of pictures from my mother-in-law, whose family grew up in Pittston. And I don't remember exactly when she did it, sometime in the 70s, maybe early 80s. She had all these pictures from maybe around 1910, that time period, from when she was a little girl. And she went through, and from memory, she identified most of the people in those pictures. So it's fun to kind of turn them over and see all these names that I've been hearing for years and years and years and years. So don't just save the photo albums, save that. And ask those questions. There are things I wish I had asked my grandmothers. But, you know, when you're a kid, you don't think so much about that. And then, you know, they were gone by the time I really got into this.
Do you think the interest has increased? Has Lewis Gates' PBS show made a difference? Do people pay attention more so, for example, because of that?
Oh, definitely. I think Dr. Gates has done an incredible favor to a lot of us for just increasing the interest. The only thing is, it's so funny when he presents them with a book of life and then this huge family tree, that thinking we didn't have it, we didn't pay somebody to do this. We were in the trenches. But I enjoy the thrill of the hunt. I really do. There's something about the process of looking for something and then finding it. And then that's the other piece to the puzzle. But as far as interest, we've been pretty steady with the attendance in our sessions, both for beginners and on the European tour. And in some cases, it's gotten a little bit higher.
We also didn't have the internet when we all started. And one of the big problems is people assume that everything is on the internet and they're going to find it in 5 minutes. Well, they're not. Not everything is on the internet, nor will it ever be in our lifetimes.
So that means, for example, that we may need to go to the Lackawanna Historical Society or go to the Luzerne County Historical Society or down to Washington, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I know myself, I made 2 trips to the National Archives in Washington before anything was even considered for the internet. And it was a great experience, but then you're paying for gas and tolls and hotels and metro. And this was one of the things that we try to tell people, even in the beginner's workshop, that yes, some of these subscriptions are costly. But when you compare what you're paying for a yearly subscription to one of the big four, and one of the big four is free, but what you're saving in wear and tear on your car and all those other expenses, it really is a bargain by comparison, especially if you're just starting out and you're trying to gather as much as you can. There's so much out there. Other things are not. But once you find out on your own what you cannot get online, then you at least know what you have to travel for. But that's so much less than what it would have been if you had to go out to find everything. When we started, you had to travel to get everything. And that's one of the things we're happy to do.
Lay out for us, if you would, Kate. Give us the itinerary.
Okay. So our first workshop is on Saturday, April 12th, and it's from 10 a.m. to noon. And that's Ireland and Scots-Irish. And that will be done by Barbara and me and a third person who does the Scots-Irish part. That one is at the Lackawanna County Children's Library in their community room. Then the following month, Saturday, May 10th from 10 to noon, we have our Polish workshop. And that's done by a man by the name of Tony Paddock, who is amazing at Polish research. And that's at the North Pocono Library. On the 14th of June, again from 10 to noon, we're moving to Italy with also a retired teacher who has done a lot of work on her own family and the Italian records. And that's in the council chambers on the second floor of the Carbondale City Hall. So we do try to move it around the county so that lots of people can maybe get there a little easier. On Saturday, July 12th, we have the Carpatho-Rusyn records with Natalie Azakainen. That's at the Albright Library in Scranton. August, that one might be Germany with Tom, and so we don't have a date for that one yet. And then in September, our last one is also with Tom, and that's his England and Wales workshop. And that one's at Abington at the community library. And then we stop the European tour because in October, we redo our beginner's workshop that we talked about the last time that we were here.
Tom, do you have some closing remarks, what you're looking forward to?
Well, I want to emphasize that this is free. There's no charge for it, but you must register to make sure that we do have enough handouts for each session.
That's right, yeah. That's really important. And yeah, it is absolutely imperative that if people are interested in attending any of these European sessions, they have to register through the Lackawanna Historical Society. We need to know how many are coming, as Tom said, because we need to know how many handouts to have. We don't want to run out. And also, we ask them when they say they're coming to give us an idea of where they believe or where they know the areas that their ancestors came from, because then that helps us focus maybe on the areas for the group that's in front of us instead of being so broad-based. I mean, how many counties are there in Ireland? Well, we can't cover every county. But if we at least know the counties that you, as an attendee, have an affiliation with, then we'll focus our attention on that. So that's where we are.
And Kate, while you were still teaching, What about the history aspect of all of this? Did it come into play in your classroom?
There was some. At one point in the last years that I taught history, the school district had a subscription to Ancestry. And so when I got to, I can't remember whether it was the 20s or the 30s, I would make copies of the census for the city of Scranton, just from different areas of Scranton. And we would talk about all of the information that was in there. And like the 1930 census asked, did you own a radio? And so there were little tidbits of knowledge like there. And then I, you know, gave them a worksheet to go with it. And one of the students was going through it and she went, oh, that's my grandmother.
And that makes it real, doesn't it?
It really did. And the other kids were like, what? But so she, oh, that's, you know, that's her aunt and I know her. And so it was fun that they just kind of ended up with that. And they really enjoyed doing it. We spent 2 days going through the records.
Kate Bohan, retired history teacher, giving us a prime example of the words by Irish genealogist John Grenham that set the stage for us today when he said, all history starts from this primary impetus, and genealogy is the most basic form of history, tracing the continual cycle of family growth and demise, unraveling the individual strands of relationship and experience which weave together to form the great patterns of historical change. Reconstructing the details of our own family history is a way of understanding, immediately and personally, the connection between the present and the past, a way of understanding ourselves. We had a visit from the members of the Lackawanna Historical Society Genealogy Forum, the founders, Barbara Spellman Schutte, Kate Bohan, and Tom Price. And they are inviting us to take part in their upcoming European tour, beginning Saturday, April 12th at 10 a.m. at the Lackawanna County Children's Library Community Room in downtown Scranton. There will be sessions on various ethnic groups May 10th, June 14th, 12th of July, a date to be determined in August, and September 13th. They're all Saturday mornings at 10. The sessions are free, but you do need to register in advance, as we heard. And to do that, lackawannahistory@gmail.com, lackawannahistory@gmail.com. The Lackawanna Historical Society's Genealogy Forum is offering a European tour from Saturday, April 12th, monthly, through September 13th, Saturday. And they're all at 10 a.m. They're at various locations throughout the county, and the sessions are free. To register, lackawannahistory@gmail.com. And we know that the members of the forum, the founding members of the forum, Barbara, Kate, and Tom, want to give a special shout out to Marianne Moran Savakinas, the executive director of the Lackawanna Historical Society, for all the support and encouragement she's offered to the forum. Again, lackawannahistory@gmail.com, lackawannahistory@gmail.com, and for the website, lackawannahistory.org.